Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Thornton gets the inbounds pass, catches it. Technically, she's traveling, but hey, this game is over, and the Valkyries win 88-77. What a win for the GSB tonight against Indiana.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Dan on the call.
AD on the call.
Yes. By the way, who's the name? It's hard for me to pronounce her name. The one who had four blocks.
Amahir.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Letitia Amahir.
She did something very impressive last night, and I'm not talking about the four blocks.
Carter's favorite player.
She actually walked twice on one drive.
What?
She walked twice on one drive and got called for neither. She went left. She was out near the top of the circle. She walked, then put it on the floor, then walked again, and scored.
Well, you can't spell WNBA Steiny without MBA. And they do a whole lot of walking in that league. I don't know if you're aware.
They do. They do. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I kind of forgot the finals were on last night. I swear to God. The NBA Finals, Game 6, and at 7 o'clock, that game's half over, and I'm watching. I'll say it. I'm watching Vern Glenn on the pregame show, the Valkyries pregame show, not even knowing the Thunder are playing the Pacers.
It might sound crazy to a lot of people, but like we're being serious. Yesterday, for those who listen, and I didn't realize it until I saw you at the cafeteria. We didn't talk about Game 6 of the NBA Finals at all.
Nope.
And it really just because it wasn't honestly top of mind. There was nothing about Game 6 last night that was really compelling to me. No, Game 7 on Sunday is a different story. I think Game 7, best two words in sports. But, you know, I walk into Chase Center and we get down to the media section. And they have the games on the televisions in the Jim Barnett media room. And I realize, I'm like, oh, yeah, Pacers up by 17. Huh. All right, well, Caitlin Clark's playing in about 20 minutes. I think I'm going to go out and watch some pregame. Like, yeah. I'd rather watch warmups.
I would suspect that Monday we'll be talking a little bit about the NBA Finals, considering you're right, it's a Game 7 Sunday. But we'll also be talking about the Red Sox and Giants, you know, I'm sure.
Oh, it's a big series.
Yeah, I'm just... I just have not been into the finals, and I actually am not sure why. It has nothing to do with the market size of each team or that I don't have any interest in either team. So I don't know what it is. Risotto, how come I'm not watching a lot of the NBA finals?
I think the 619 is kind of onto something, because I noticed this too during this week. The finals feel so far apart from each game, I just forget when it's supposed to be on. Like, I knew that Game 6 was on, but yesterday it didn't hit me that it was like, oh, like Thursday, appointment viewing, 5 o'clock, gotta watch Game 6. because now I got to wait 2 more days until the next. In fact, the only reason I know it's game seven is because it's going to be on a Sunday. You know, if it was a Monday, it might, I might lose track of it sometime between now and this weekend.
You know what? This is kind of interesting, and I wonder if it is part of it. The Patrick McCaw fan club on YouTube. It's ESPN's fault. Terrible coverage. There might be some truth to that. Now, I'm not watching because it's ESPN, but I'm probably not going to watch any of the pre- or post-game shows. I'm just not. And those are typically the shows that, if you're into it, you'll watch, and then they get you excited about the game. But I don't want to hear those guys before a game.
Well, I think it's also about the coverage between games. Like, I'm going to be honest. Every single time I look up at ESPN and they're talking about Pacers or Thunder, it's always, this guy's got to do more.
Right.
Or, this guy is building a legacy. Or, this guy let his team down. And it feels like it's just a spitballing of repetitive takes trying to basically make an extreme example out of one player or one team. And it's either we're crowning the OKC Thunder as this historic all-time team, or the Pacers are the underdogs that no one thought could get here, and Halliburton's actually a superstar who's the least overrated player in the league, or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the best player in Thunder. Like, there's so many extreme takes that I feel like are being tossed out between games. I understand that's their job, and to some extent we do the same thing. But Steiny, it just, every time I look up, like, the headlines are all the same headlines. And so it's really hard for me to keep track of what they're actually talking about.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you. Like, I don't need to hear Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has to step up after every loss. I don't have to listen to guys talk about how Halliburton's got to step up after every loss and how that was an unprofessional performance. And that, it's like, don't you get it? It's game six. If you have a game to play with, you cannot convince yourself that it's a game seven. You just can't. It's a game seven for the team that's down. Like, I'm always confounded by the people who today will be like, boy, what? Like, my main man, Joe Hawk, Steiny, did the Thunder miss an opportunity last night?
I think I actually asked you that one.
And I was like, no, not really, because it doesn't sound like they were really in the game. But I guess the hardest thing to do for those guys on the Oklahoma City Thunder is try to convince themselves that there really isn't a game seven and that game six is the game seven. And if you can't do that, you're probably not going to win the game because it is a game seven for the other team.
Well, and they admitted as much. Like, I think Jalen Williams, who was a minus 40, he was talking about how he really didn't think about it and approached it the same way. But SGA said, yeah, it was in the back of our minds. Like, that to me, that's nerves. That's pressure. And for a team that hasn't done it before, that's, I don't know if it's a blown opportunity, but again, these are all things that I find interesting, but I don't hear talked about in the middle or during the games. Or a quote like SGA saying, yeah, you know, the closeout opportunity was one that was in the back of our minds. Then I'll wake up today and I'll see a headline, SGA admits moment was too big. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like every single moment of honesty from an athlete in those kinds of situations, and it's not just ESPN, it's like it just gets extrapolated to this, I don't know, into this narrative that isn't even recognizable based on the quote that I just listened to.
Yeah, and I as for Oklahoma City, I get it that, you know, they'd like to win this series, but the idea that if they lose this series, that, I don't know, that I almost feel like when a team loses a finals, they get written off for good. And I I'll say, well, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder are young. They got a great core. They're going to be good for a while. Well, you can't assume that. And you're right. But Like, I look at what Oklahoma City's done, and to me, they're exactly where they need to be. They're in a Game 7 of the NBA Finals a year after they lost in the second round, so they've almost gone twice as far. It's like, this is usually what happens in the NBA. You get beat a couple times, and then you overcome.
Yeah, but I also think that there is, like, nothing's promised. I know everyone just thinks that the Thunder are going to be back, but there's also a reason, Steiny, why there hasn't been a back-to-back champion in this decade. Like, things happen really fast. And so, while I don't think that last night was necessarily a blown opportunity, if the Thunder don't win Game 7 at home, I kind of will look at it like a missed opportunity for them. Because this was their year. I mean, seriously, like, they are and have been the best team in basketball the entire season from start to finish.
Right.
And all that matters, really, is that they're the best team for one more game. Like, and you never know what a loss like that could do to a team that young.
No, you're right. I was thinking more, I didn't realize when you said missed an opportunity that you were meaning missed an opportunity to win the NBA Finals. I thought you meant the specific game last night. Did they miss an opportunity? And because the way I was thinking about it is if Oklahoma City loses Game 7, like, that's the one they're going to talk about.
Yeah, they're going to be kicking themselves for a long time.
Right.
Even if they go ahead and win a championship, everyone will always be talking about, well, they should have had one more. You know, they lost to the Pacers.
Right, right.
But again, it wasn't top of mind last night.
No,
it just wasn't.
That's the part that is I totally forgot. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. I saw quick little thing on Giannis.
Somebody what about
had,
him?
They had a they had five trade proposals for Giannis, and one of them had him coming to the Warriors. You want to know for who?
Sure, hit me.
Draymond Green, Pods, Kuminga, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and two firsts.
I'm tired.
Yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would. Would you? And if not, why? Now, I don't think that deal is going to happen.
Right.
But if we're playing that game, you're telling me Matt Steinmetz right now, you would not do that deal.
I haven't said anything yet, Evan. I haven't said I would or
no,
I would.
No, but your apprehension and silence is speaking volumes.
Well, that's because I want to make a list of the other players who will be on this team after, but maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would do that deal. Tell me, bring Giannis and pair him with Curry and Jimmy? Oh, baby.
Okay, then who's left?
Well, not Pods and Kuminga.
Santos.
He's on a team contract. Actually, he might be a vet minimum option.
I guess I would. That would be, you know what that would be? That would be like the Devers trade. I guess we got to do it. We'd have to do it.
That would be like, I'm trying to think about, because with all due respect, Devers is not the same player as Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know if there is a player right now that I would compare that deal to, but you're right. It's one you'd have to do. And I think the Warriors are trying to figure out, like, do you think the Butler deal was something they had to do? I kind of think it was.
My answer would be yes. And it's because I heard a piece of sound from Steve Kerr, recently on a podcast with Tom Tolbert, and they asked Steve about the Durant thing, and Steve said, I thought the way this was phrased was interesting. Steve said, well, it was well documented that we went after Kevin Durant, but we didn't get Kevin Durant. And that's when Mike called me and said, we're going to trade for Jimmy Butler. I'm going to vouch for him. I played with him 3 years in Chicago. Like, believe it or not, when Kerr said that, it made it sound like they had Butler on the back burner. if they needed him. And it got down to that, and that's when Mike Dunleavy said, we're going to go get Butler. Like, they knew they had an opportunity to get Butler, and they waited a little bit and waited. If anything else materialized, it didn't. They went and got Butler.
Well, and that's why it's not exactly the same, but I the moment the Giants traded for Rafi Devers, I texted you guys, they got their Jimmy Butler. And it's less about the person than it is the situation of the franchises. The Warriors had to make that deal, no matter what it cost them. And it didn't cost them much, but the Giants also didn't have to give up a whole lot to get Devers. The one thing they both had to commit, more so the Giants than the Warriors, was money and time to basically pick a direction and choose a path. And the Warriors' commitment towards that path is much shorter than the Giants. But they were both in situations where I just can't imagine, whether it's Dunleavy or Posey, or whoever's getting these deals done, is looking around and saying, we can't do it. Like, who in those front offices said we can't do it? Whether you think that there's consequences or ramifications to each, which there are, they were both in positions where it's like, dude, we got to pull the trigger on this. I think they're so similar with the positions and the kinds of players that they are.
Steven has his sound. So let's take a listen to it from Steve Kerr.
I think it's well documented. We were trying to get Kevin Durant.
Yep.
That didn't happen. Mike calls me and he goes, hey, I think we're just going to trade for Jimmy Butler. I'm going to vouch for him. We played with him for 3 years in Chicago. Guy's a gamer, hell of a player. I think that's going to work. And I said, great, let's do it.
There it is. We're just going to trade for Jimmy Butler. Like, they had it. They knew they could get Butler. This is my interpretation. Just the way he said that. Mike called me and said, we're just going to trade for Butler. That means that, again, they were dealing with Miami, and they knew they had a deal so they could look at everything else. And at the end of the day, it also seems to me like, and it's no, doesn't matter. He was kind of their last option.
He was definitely their second option.
After Durant?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is, I think it was like their safety move. It was like their safety school. When you apply to a college, why would Steve say, Mike would say, Steve, we're just going to trade for Jimmy Butler. It sounds like almost like resignation, if you know what I mean. I know I'm parsing here, but I was just thinking about it.
Well, I think they were in a position where they had to do it. Like, there was no other alternative.
And that's my original point is that's why I said yes. I do think now, looking back, they thought they needed to do it.
Well, it's because the alternative is you spiraling. And I don't know if the Giants would have done the same, but I think one of the reasons why Posey, from at least the timeline of it, decided that this was going to be something that he wanted to get done was because he was afraid that they were probably going to be a team that eventually hit a wall. And the Warriors had already hit that wall. Like,
True.
They had to get a deal done because they were, like, that team was going nowhere. And even though Curry played a lot better after, like, he clearly found a different level because of Butler. The point is, I think that Posey was in the same place that Dunleavy was, which is, our team is good, but it's flawed, and it's going to lead us nowhere. Like, we have to, if this player's available, we have to acquire his services because it helps us right now get better. It'll help us in the near future, and there might not be another opportunity to get a player of this stature. Like, everyone has thrown around Giannis, and we love all the hypotheticals. I never thought last year, this year, moving forward, I don't think Giannis is ever going to be a Warrior. You can't keep waiting, and I think the Warriors finally ran out of patience. You can't keep waiting for that guy to just fall into your hands. Sometimes you have to make a move. And the Warriors' clock is obviously has a lot less time on it than the Giants. But I think that Posey probably had the same sort of alarm clock in his head. Like, dude, if we don't get this done, I don't know when another Devers is going to be available. So right. We have to do it.
No, I do think there are a lot of similarities, absolutely, with the deal. The one thing about, I think the commonality between both trades is that, I'm sorry, and maybe this is my regional bias, but I feel like both trades were too good to be true. And that's why the Warriors did it, and that's why the Giants did it. If and we'll play some more of this sound, but if Buster Posey convinced Breslow to forget about Eldridge, and Breslow didn't want to play a 5-week game with Buster Posey and said, fine, he's not a must. Posey looks at those four guys that he got rid of, and like, I see, you have to do that deal. And the same with Butler. I mean, I remember when we were talking about Butler. Sonny, do you want Butler? Not really. How come? I don't want to give up 3 draft picks for Jimmy Butler. Well, it turns out you didn't have to give up 3. In fact, you only gave up 1, and it was protected. And you also got off Wiggins' contract. So, yeah, like the Butler deal, both franchises thought they were going to have to give up more for each player, I believe. And when they saw what they had to give up, I think both the Giants and the Warriors were like, well, that's not that much. We got to do this.
I don't know if they thought they'd have to give up more, but I think that they also, look, they both took advantage of situations that had soured and that were, like, that weren't able to be repaired. Boston clearly was at a point where they were done with Devers, and or Devers was done with them. I thought that Jeff Passan wrote a really interesting story this morning about some of the, I don't know if you want to call it a smear campaign against Devers, or some of the things that were written about him that were unfair, and how most of the onus is on the Boston Red Sox for that for that breakup. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat are, look, it's a, they just didn't want to pay him. Like, they did not want to pay Jimmy Butler. That's what it comes down to. And at the end of the day, I think the Red Sox also got to a point where they didn't want to pay Rafi Devers. They didn't want to pay the rest of that contract. And so both the Warriors and the Giants found themselves in a position where all they had to answer was one question. Do we want to pay these guys? And they both determined the answer was yes. The Warriors wanted to pay Jimmy Butler and give him that $60 million deal. And or 60 a year, and then the Giants were, dude, we'll foot the bill. That's fine. You can have our fifth starter, reliever, and a prospect from last year we may or may never see, but we'll eat the money. Like, we'll eat the money.
Yeah. What Posey did, I think, was saw a player that was going to be the best hitter on the roster. And didn't have to give up an everyday player, and it was a very easy decision. Like, I don't think, you know, I wonder about what's going to happen in 8 years, but I don't think there's one Giants fan that disliked the trade for Rafael Devers. It was that much of a no-brainer. And even if Devers plays 3 years and the next four and the latter 4 or 5 are bad, let's say, everybody's going to look back and say, yeah, but we knew that was a risk and we decided it was still worth it. Like, the Giants know that in 2032 or whenever it is, guess what? They're going to have two guys on the roster, Adamas and Devers, who aren't living up to their contracts. Like, they've taken that into consideration. Like, they're probably under no illusion that Devers at 37 is going to hit 30 homers. But that was part of what was factored in to Posey's thinking. And he clearly is okay with what happens when these guys start to decline a little bit.
Well, it's just,
like, you got to prepare for that.
No, well, you can't. Like, Devers could take a dive next year. You never know. But that's the other part. Like, there's no perfect move out there. The idea that the Giants or the Warriors or the Niners or any sports team for that matter, I think we've been a little bit misled by the idea that the 2016 free agent acquisition of Kevin Durant is out there. Like that move is one that every team can make every time that they need something. That's a one in a million type of ad. Like Kevin Durant is not walking through that. 2016 Kevin Durant is not walking through any door. The Warriors did not have to give up anything but a contract to get him. So you got to give up something. And you have to be willing to run with the risk of individuals like a Devers. And the risk is he might not age well. Jimmy Butler, well, he's already looking like he might be aging a little bit poorly. But those are risks that the Warriors and the Giants were willing to take. There is one big difference, though, that I want to tell you about on the other side.
Yeah, because there's something I want to add to this, too, because I think it's kind of interesting. If you guys want to join in, you know the number, 888-957-9570. Hey, are you planning a road trip? Tahoe? Napa? Maybe down the coast? Make your first stop Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive in, stay in your car, done in about 15 minutes. Your ride's going to be ready before you even pack the snacks. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com for coupons. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Hey, in case you missed last night's game, the Golden State Valkyries defeated Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever in a huge win at Chase Center last night. Here's what the energy sounded like. Take a listen.
Foul line, driving right alley. Blocked by Burton! Great health defense! Hayes, baseball pass ahead to Bibby with Colson to beat. She lays it in! Backing down, back for Burton, open 25, butters good! 69-65, Gordon, three, Reindance! Bounce by seven, their new largest lead of the game with 4:50 to go. Pass fake, fires a straight on three, just a little strong, secures her own miss, goes right down the lane, and one, mobility! A step through to Thornton for three, it's good! It's Burton behind the back, three to shoot, stepping back, 18-footer, Bullet Knights! Good night, Indiana! 87-77, this place is so loud that when they called timeout, they didn't even stop the clock, they couldn't hear the whistle. What a win for the GSV tonight against Indiana.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
My woman from Tokyo? No, I was made for loving you, baby.
It's Kiss.
Yeah, I was made for loving you, right?
Yeah. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Well, where was this when Marcy was here? You didn't know any music she was talking about.
She was talking about heavy metal. Who sings this again?
This is Kiss.
This is the Steven Tyler band, the guy with the long
tongue.
That's Aerosmith.
Oh boy.
Let me start out here.
I'm gonna take a playoff.
Gene Simmons, Carter says.
Oh God.
Paul Ace Frehley, don't. Okay, that's enough. No, I'm just kidding. Let me ask you this about the Giant, unless you need to get into your point about you were saying that the trades were similar, but there was one difference.
Oh, wrong name, same guy. Wait, about the Devers and the Butler deal. Yes, yeah. I do think there's one big difference, and that is this. Jimmy Butler's teammates apparently had a big problem with him in Miami.
Right.
Spoelstra, and he clearly had some stuff going on. He threw him out of a practice. When Jimmy Butler went back to Miami, I didn't recall a whole lot of hugs between him and Hero, and Bam, they didn't really want to talk about it. I don't get the feeling at all that the Boston Red Sox dislike Rafi Devers. Like, the players. Like, Alex Cora, tonight, is going to be at Oracle Park.
Right.
They're not going to throw at him. They like him.
Why would they?
His beef was with Craig Breslow in the front office, not with the rest of his team. I do get the feeling that there is still some resentment between the Miami Heat team and Jimmy Butler.
Okay. And I kind of agree with you, but I would say this, and I'm kind of with you. My question on my notepad is, why would the Red Sox throw at Devers? I don't know. And then I thought to myself, will you meet me halfway here, Evan? That if Devers does get plunked tonight, that does tell me his teammates didn't like him, at least at the end.
Well, if he gets by a curveball, it's just accidental.
Sure.
Like, I don't expect to see Dodgers-Padres Part 5 tonight at Oracle Park.
I don't either.
Like Devers is not going to get hit by a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, clearly on purpose, and then the Giants aren't going to respond by hitting, I don't know, Roman Anthony in the elbow on purpose. Like, that's not going down tonight, I don't think. If it does, I would be shocked, because while I don't think that Devers probably was the greatest teammate in the world, you know, he clearly didn't have an interest in being a big mentor or, I don't know, like, but he went about his business. Cora, by all accounts, still likes him, loves him, in fact. And the rest of his teammates, even some of the small things about him not liking some of the young guys, you know, maybe trying to usurp him in his position, like, some of that stuff is either up in the air, we don't know, he said, she said. It really just felt like Devers was done with Craig Breslow, and Craig Breslow was done with him.
Yeah, and the owner. I think the owner was in on it too, but there's the idea that he's going to get hit, to me, I don't see it. First of all, there's no bad blood between the Red Sox and the Giants.
Not yet.
But
no, there's like, no like big rivalry.
But right, and they're like, just because this trade was made doesn't put bad blood into it. What I do believe, though, is if he gets hit in the ear with a fastball, then that tells me at least somebody on that team did think he was a jerk, or somebody's, more likely. I don't think that's going to happen.
The only time that players get thrown at, in my experience, is if they're instructed to. Like, not a lot of pitchers will take it upon themselves. Outside of maybe, who is the guy? There's actually one, there's one example. Hunter Strickland, I think, went Lone Ranger against Bryce Harper. I do think that. You know why? Because Posey didn't try to intervene. Like, I think that there's some examples of players taking it upon themselves, but like Hunter Dobbins is starting tonight for the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
I just don't think that Hunter Dobbins has beef with Rafi Devers.
No.
So if he throws at him, it's probably because Cora told him to, which I don't see happening.
No, I don't either. Here's where I want to go with this one. Rafael Devers has 8.5 years remaining on his deal, right?
Yep.
Eight and a half. Is that good?
It could be.
It's a yes or no question, Mr. Giddings.
You know what? I don't like this. Because whenever I do this to you, you bow out, and then you throw it back at me. Is it a good thing? You know what? All right. For where the Giants were, yes, it's a good thing.
Adames is under contract for 7 more years.
Sure is.
Is that good?
It's not looking like it. But
and Chappie's under contract for 6 more years. Is that good?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I like the idea of having a core together for a long time. But there's absolutely, and this is why, like, there's absolutely room for this to go bad. There is. Because if those 3 players don't age well, you have a ton of your money wrapped up in 3 guys that aren't helping you. Like, the Red Sox won yesterday, the Giants won yesterday 2-1. Who was the hero?
Wilmer Flores.
Why did he have to pinch hit?
Because they've got a ton of big bats in that lineup.
It's because they have stocked all their bats at one position. They got 3 first basemen. Now, if Chapman comes back, maybe he can help, maybe he doesn't. But they got 3 first basemen, all that can supposedly hit. Devers, Flores, and Smith. And only two of those guys can play. So on given nights, Wilmer Flores is going to have to pinch hit. And while he came through, I generally am of the belief that I would like to have my best bats in the lineup. And because of the Devers acquisition, they just can't do that.
Not yet. Not until he can show he can play the field, at least. Here's where I'm at on it. You know how I feel about the Warriors' aged core.
Yep.
I can't stand where the Warriors are right now with their three best players all as old as they are. Nevertheless, clearly it's setting up that in about 6-8 years, the Giants may have a situation like this. But there's one difference.
You're thinking so far ahead.
No, but that's – and you kind of touched on my point.
Okay.
I actually think I would have answered those were all good. Adams under contract for 7 more years. Is that good? That is good. And I think the reason it's good for the Giants is because of where they are and why they made the trades. First of all, they're not, you know, they didn't, these guys are all in their primes, essentially.
Yes.
Late 20s, what's Chapman? Early 30s, maybe?
I think he's 30 years old.
Right. So these guys are going to be able to develop, you know, a chemistry.
32.
They're going to grow together.
32.
And they're going to be here for a while. And here's the other thing about the Devers trade and the Adames trade and then the Chapman signing. And I've told this story before. Back in the day, the Warriors had Troy Murphy and Mike Dunleavy under contract. Chris Mullin signed them both to like 5-year deals. And there were a lot of people that were thinking, oh, man, you know, these guys got overpaid and they got 5-year deals. And Mullin said the reason he did that was because at the time, the organization kind of had no credibility. It had no reputation around the league. And Mullin told me, look, we needed some stability. We needed to get some guys under contract so that, you know, younger players that they could grow. And if it didn't work out, we'd address that in time. They ended up keeping those guys for a couple years, and then they made a blockbuster trade, which changed their season. Like, there's no reason Posey couldn't do something like that in a year or two if, you know, things start to go a little sideways.
You mean get off him?
Yeah.
Sure. But to me, the only reason you would get off of those guys is because your team's not very good. Like, you're trying to offload money. And that's not where they're at right now. Do I think that they're a World Series contender? No, but I definitely think they're in the mix to make the playoffs. And that's a place they haven't really been. You know, I guess my concern is that they're all going to tail off at the same time. Like, that'd be my biggest concern, right, about having these three contracts that for the most part align, is that when one goes bad, the other is probably going to follow pretty quickly. Like, Devers and his he's going to hit, but like, his average is going to come down a bit. It's not going to hit for as much power. He might not walk as much. Chapman's glove takes a little bit of a step back. He's not hitting that great right now. Is he a career 240, 230 hitter for the remainder of his time in San Francisco? Adames can't swing his way out of a wet paper bag right now. And if he's going to be this same, I don't think he'll be better, but like, he's never going to be the guy he was last year, I think. So you've acquired three players that are good pieces, but I don't really get the feeling that any of them are the piece. Like, Devers is awesome. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's ever had a top 10 MVP finish.
He hasn't.
And
he was 11th one year.
He's not going to have a top 10 MVP finish, probably because he doesn't play the field anymore. Or when he does, he's not going to be a great first baseman. So you still are looking for the guy that, like, kind of brings them all together. And that's what I think people overlook with this trade. There's no doubt that Devers is going to help, and he's a really good hitter. But they still don't have the sort of superstar that makes a team, that gets a team over the top, that puts them on the level of those tier one teams that we talked about yesterday. Like, and that player might be out there this offseason. That player could be Eldridge. Might still be in the minors. but they still don't have that guy yet that makes everybody else so much better.
I completely agree. And sometimes when a trade like this happens, there's a tendency to say, oh, Posey got his guy. Oh, that. No, Posey got a guy. Because I think the way Posey looked at it is, let's say before Farhan's last year, you know, they to me, when they signed Snell and Chapman, it was, I don't know, I don't know if the word's desperation, but they were outliers in a way. But when Chapman got here, I think Buster Posey looked at this team and basically said, we kind of stink. Like, we don't have any, like, we, the first thing we need is some lineup credibility in a way. And so I think he looked at Chapman and said, he's a pro. We're going to keep him here. Then Adames, he's a pro. He's a really good player. They get him in here. Devers, he's a really good player. They get him in here. And none of that precludes him from doing anything else. I think it almost is as simple as, I got to build up our roster with more competent major league players who have been around at least a little bit.
Well, and that's why I think that the Devers deal is, as great as it makes people feel now, the Devers deal was not about the present. It was about the future. I don't think that Posey is looking at this team and saying, eh, maybe he does. We can win it this year. But if I get Devers, he gives us a chance to win it for like four more years. And You got Wisenhunt coming up through the system, is supposed to be pretty good. Eldridge is going to arrive probably at some point later this year, and he's going to be a good hitter for us in the future. You still got Ray for one more year. Webb's under contract. Our bullpen's young, and they're under team control. Like, do you want to be involved in the race, and can they make the playoffs this year? Yes. And then you got a shot. But I think the Devers deal is about, like, he opens their window for contention for 3 to 4 more years. And that's when you can start to say, all right, we're a slugger away. Can Eldridge be that? No, if not, well, maybe we got to go get one, or we got to trade for one. Do we need a third starter because Verlander can't be that guy? Yes. Well, maybe we need to add another arm because someone gets hurt or someone's less effective next season. Like, Devers brings so much more clarity into what the roster construction looks like for the Giants, to me, for the next 3 to 4 seasons. And so that's why the deal was a no-brainer, because he does help you now, and you're still going to be a lot of 3-2 games, 2-1 games like they were yesterday. But he opens up their window next year and the year after that. That's, to me, what it's more about.
Yeah, and I also think that it's about Devers, Adames, and Chapman being better players now than the Giants had, let's say, on their team 3 years ago, and
or even last year,
or two, yes, and 2 or 3 years from now, Devers, Chapman, and mine drew a blank. Devers, Chapman, and Adames, you know, they will have better teammates in 2 or 3 years than the ones who are here now. So that's another reason why I think They keep the window open. This is not the last move. I think if you're Buster Posey, and you thought this was a potential wild card team, and you wanted it to be something better than that, and you got Devers, and now you think you're a surefire playoff team, okay, let's see if you make the playoffs first, and let's see how far you go, and then we'll have a sense of how close we are, and it'll be based in reality. You know what I mean? Like they just have to get better over the next few years. It's not necessarily about winning it this year, but that they have staying power and they're going to be a factor in the division for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also building a clubhouse of familiar faces. I know that none of the three guys we're talking about, Devers, Adames, and Chapman, are homegrown. But that doesn't mean that they still can't create kind of like a standard or a culture. I think Posey understands that aspect of things.
Like, I agree.
it's not often that you're going to have someone like him, Posey, who is a homegrown superstar and a potential Hall of Famer, come through and be the standard bearer for your club. In a lot of ways, it's often a team going out to get a free agent or trade for a guy. Like, take the rest of the teams in their division. How many homegrown Dodgers are there?
Feels like a fair amount.
There's a couple. Like, Will Smith is homegrown.
Okay.
Kershaw's obviously homegrown. Those guys are pieces, but they're not their best players. Like, I think Mookie Betts is a big clubhouse guy. He's not a Dodger. Freddie Freeman is a big clubhouse guy. He's not a Dodger. Even Shohei Ohtani, to some extent. Like, what he did last night in L.A., not reacting to getting thrown at, that's a big... He's not a Dodger. You look at even the Padres. Manny Machado, not a Dodger. He's been there for the long... Or, sorry, not a Padre. Hasn't been there for a long time. Like, you can still build a good culture or a positive clubhouse through guys that aren't just homegrown stars. And I think Eldridge has the potential to be one and maybe kind of carry the, you know, the standards, so to speak. But, like, I think Posey is... He's trying to sort of circumvent that process. Like, we don't have to just wait to see if one of our guys can come through the system. We can set that clubhouse and create a culture now. So when those dudes are ready from our system to help, well, then we already got a couple guys that are great examples.
Yes, and I think the most important part is the guys who are great, quote-unquote, examples, they are probably the three of the top five players on the team. So your most professional players are your best players. Like, I'm just thinking of the Warriors, and over the years when they were terrible, do you know how many guys they brought in here and they said, well, he's a true professional. He's gonna help our young guys. Like, they went out and signed Derek Fisher and brought him in because he'd won a title with the Lakers and was known as a pro's pro. So, like, I think what Posey's done is he's done that, get professional guys, leaders in the clubhouse, but they're really good players. Like, they're good players, and they're good enough to be a core on a really good team. And so I agree completely. I don't know if or when Wisenhunt's coming up. I don't know if or when Eldridge is coming up. But when they do, they're going to walk into a clubhouse where the leaders are Adamas, they're Webb, they're Chapman. You know, Devers will probably sit quietly, but he's the best player on the team. But you're right. The culture is now defined by three giants who have only been giants for a year and a half at most. The one who's been here a year and a half.
Well, and the more that I think about it, too, it's like, who have the Giants... If I asked you a year ago what the Giants' core was, just... like their lineup, their position players. I'm looking at their roster right now. Chapman, for sure, though, is his first season. And ended up becoming Ramos, but he wasn't somebody that was there at the beginning of the year. Wilmer Flores, you know, like all these tenured guys are nice, but in 2022, when they're four games below 500, it's the tail end of Crawford, Jock Peterson and Tyro Estrada. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that you could look at for the last couple of teams before this season and say, like, those three dudes are our guys and they're going to be our guys for the next five seasons.
Right. And I think part of Posey's job is to start trying to pepper the roster with more guys who are everyday players, but more so than that, like, really good everyday players. 888-957-9570 is the number. Boston Red Sox in town for three. Should be a great time at Oracle Park. Giants need to put together a few wins. That segment was brought to you by San Francisco International Airport. Traveling in 2025? Start your journey right at San Francisco International Airport with the most nonstop flights from the Bay Area. Easy parking, live performances, tasty food. Why settle for less? Fly from SFO, where your best journeys begin. Visit flysfo.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.